Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what that means? Means that Ray Fittipaldo is on the line. And before we get to him, I want to tell you to stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 3 matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, Ray, I want to know about injuries. Primarily, I want to know if Derek Harmon is going to play in this game, but give us the full injury update because it feels big on both sides. Like Christian Gonzalez, a guy I think the Steelers should have drafted instead of Broderick Jones. That's a big one for them. Update us on the Steelers if you would be so kind.
Yeah, Deshaun Elliott and Joey Porter did not practice Wednesday and Thursday, so they're looking very doubtful at this point. The Steelers are out there practicing right now. I doubt that either of those guys play. You know, Derek Harmon was limited the first 2 days, and we talked to Terrell Austin yesterday, and Terrell told us even if Derek does make his NFL debut, they're going to have him on a pitch count. They're worried about his conditioning. So it sounded like he would only play, you know, 10, 15 snaps if he does get a helmet on Sunday. And Joe, they might need him. Isaiah Loudermilk is out for weeks because of a high ankle sprain, and he's not going to be able to help. He had been starting. And, of course, Alex Highsmith has another ankle, and he's not going to play. So they're just devastated by injuries right now, and on top of it, they're not playing well either.
Ray, do you think, given how they have played in these first two games, that has kind of moved up the timeline for Derek Harmon to at least get him on the field in a small way?
Yeah, I mean, you want to be smart about it too. I mean, we are in week three. I don't think they would do anything to jeopardize his long-term health. We are talking about an MCL sprain. You just want to make sure when you bring him back that he's not going to do anything else, right? Like soft tissue injuries, conditioning, like I'm talking about, you have to be smart with that. So I don't think it's moved up at all. I think it was always going to be a 2 or 3 week injury. If it was anything longer, they would have put him on IR and they would have kept him out the first 4 games of the season. So it seems like he's going to make his debut Sunday or on a pitch count, or it's going to be next week in Dublin when he might have a little bit more in him.
Ray, are you going to Dublin?
No, I actually backed off the trip. So I will be home in Pittsburgh. I think I'm the only one who's going to be back from the Post-Gazette. Jerry, Mackey, and Brian are going, and Chris Carter is going as a fan.
Wow.
He got tickets for his wedding, apparently, so he's going to go over there as a fan.
Is Mackey going first class?
I don't know. I'm looking for some help at the facility next week, Joe. You want to come down and
no.
Do it like old times?
Like old times. So wait a second. It's Dulac. Batco's going on this trip?
Back goes, oh, yeah. Well, it used to be five of us were going to go originally, and then as time went on, they decided because the Steelers were going over later, not until Thursday night, they decided to back off a little bit with the coverage.
Well, that raises an interesting question that I realize is not pertinent to this game, but if I'm not mistaken, there were a lot of complaints the last time the Steelers played overseas that they left too late in the week, and they're not altering that travel plan. That doesn't seem to be the smartest thing. What do you think?
Yeah, apparently the reason, Joe, is that the Ireland or the facilities over there aren't equipped to stage NFL practices. So The Steelers are going to have a normal week back here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't even think they're flying out like until late Thursday night, and then they're going to arrive Friday. I think they have some place for them like to do a practice on Friday. No media availability on Saturday and the game on Sunday. So this is an NFL production. It's not a Steelers production. The NFL kind of tells them when to show up and that sort of thing. So that's the reason for it. And whatever happened in 2013 in London, I'm sure they're going to try to take some steps to make sure the jet lag and so forth isn't as bad this time.
Oh, so teams don't have the choice to go any earlier than
what is
they
that right?
do. I mean, that's kind of the way Ray just made it sound.
Yeah, that's my understanding, Donnie. Like, this is an NFL. This is like the Super Bowl, and pretty much they tell you when you can come. They might give you like 24 hours of wiggle room there. It used to be the home team. I think that in 2013, guys, if I'm correct on this, the home team, the Vikings, had to be out there on Tuesday. But now they've changed it, and they want the teams on equal footing. So I think everyone is going around the same time.
Ray, we got into the defensive front a little bit with Derek Harmon. How about the mix of bodies that they have playing up there? Do we see more Y.A. Black? Do we see more Daniel Equale? Because Keanu Benton, his performance just is not cutting it.
Yeah. So I think if Harmon does not play, and even if he does play, I think you're probably going to see Black in the starting lineup taking over for Loudermilk. Equale, I asked Terrell Austin about Equale yesterday. He likes him more inside than he does outside. So I do think you're going to see more of him this week. And I think maybe you'll see, I don't know about a rotation with Benton, but I think you'll see more of Equale inside at nose. I thought he actually was noticeable at times, Sonny, against the Patriots. And that's not something I can really say about the other defensive linemen. And I think because of the injuries, you'll see him bump out and play a little bit of defensive end as well. You'll have to see a little bit more Logan Lee. That just goes with the territory when guys are injured. But if you're looking like for a snap count, I think Black, you'll see his go up, and I think you'll see Equale's go up as well.
All right, let's talk about two other key positions on defense. One is Peyton Wilson. There seems to be a general feeling that Terrell Austin alluded to, that Holcomb could see more time. And then how does the time share go with Highsmith out?
Yeah, so with Highsmith, I think you'll see Herbig starting. But because they've had so much trouble against the run, I think Jack Sawyer is going to see some playing time, maybe as much as 20 to 25 to 30 snaps if they're running the ball well against the Steelers again. He's a bigger body, and I think Herbig is probably known more for his pass rushing prowess. And also DeMarvin Leal. I don't know how much Leal is going to play. They brought him up from the practice squad. He'll probably fill in a little bit, especially if it's hot up there. It's not supposed to be super hot, but if conditioning is an issue, I think you'll see Leal as well. Now, what was your second part of that question, Joe?
The Herbig and Sawyer breakdown.
Yeah, I think probably, if I had to guess, Herbig's going to start and probably play 60 to 65% of it, and then I think you'll see Sawyer, depending on how well they're running the ball, 30 to 35% of the snaps.
Ray, the Steelers tend to say one thing and then not do that. One of the things that falls into that category, other than being a historically great defense, is that they were going to move TJ Watt around the field, make him more effective, and teams couldn't take him out of the game plan. That hasn't happened yet, Ray. Are they going to do that, or was that just something they told us and were hoping that we would forget?
No, I mean, TJ was open to it. I think by the end of last season, he knew he had to be open to it. And I'm not sure what the reasons are that they haven't done it more. I brought this up earlier in the week. I think they got to start dropping their outside linebackers more. It's way too easy for these opposing offensive coordinators to direct a tackle and a tight end or a running back over there and just double-team T.J. Watt every day. If you actually drop him once in a while into coverage, you could bring blitzers up the middle, you can bring blitzers from the other side, and you could actually put pressure on the quarterback and make them think about how they want to account for outside linebackers. It's just too easy right now. When you know T.J. Smith, or Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt are going to come every single play. It's just way too easy for them to devote blockers to those guys. And then the second part of that equation, Donnie, is, and you know this, Cam Hayward has to win his one-on-ones, Benton has to win his one-on-ones, Black, so on and so forth. And they're just not doing that right now.
Ray Fittipaldo brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years, LGKG.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ray, is Caleb Johnson going to get a helmet? And could you foresee him getting a carry as a running back? We know he's not going to be back there on kicks.
Yeah. Just because of the injuries, yeah, he might get a helmet, Joe. First five guys down, there's no need to sit Caleb Johnson. You know, it depends on how the game goes. I think he's going through a tough time right now. There's two schools of thought. You know, you either throw him out there, have him jump back on the horse and sort of flush it that way, or you let him sit out and stew over it and make sure he learns his lesson. So, I think he's probably going to get a helmet because of the injuries, but you won't see him out there a whole heck of a lot. If he does get a carry or two, that would probably be the extent of it.
Who is going to be opposite Kenny G on kick returns, Ray?
I think you'll probably see Warren back there. I think Warren is the safe choice. And when you have two guys back there who could actually do it, it's not easy just to kick it to Caleb Johnson. Like, you know, the first two opponents were going to kick it to Caleb Johnson. So when you have two guys who are actually good at it, I think that makes you a little bit harder to defend. But you could see Calvin Austin, Scotty Miller, any of those small, quicker guys do it as well. They do have some options in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to ask about Warren because, I mean, there is some risk there. I mean, you throw out your top two running backs, and if one of them goes down, then Caleb Johnson does become way more important in the game.
Yeah. But you know what? Antonio Brown, in the prime of his career, was returning punts. He was effective for the Steelers in that way. I mean, I go way back. I remember early in his career, Lynn Swann was a punt returner, and that was he was a dangerous returner for the Steelers. So I think you got to pick your spots, but you know, they made the kickoff different because they wanted to make it safer, and you're not getting those 250-pound linebackers with a full head of steam now. So it is somewhat of a safer play. So I do think, you know, teams are probably more likely to play starters back there than maybe they were a couple years ago when you had the old rules.
Ray, your all-time favorite Steeler kick returner under Mike Tomlin, Mwelde Moore, Najee Davenport, Kobe Hamilton, Kerry Davis, or anyone of your choice other than that? Did you have a particular favorite who was off the radar a little bit?
Man, you got some obscure ones there. I like it. Kobe Hamilton did it?
Yeah, he did.
What about Gary Russell? Did you say him?
Gary Russell, I forgot about him. Yes.
Hey, Gary Russell is the answer to a famous trivia question. Who scored the first touchdown in Super Bowl 43?
So is Najee Davenport, who took a dump in somebody's closet in college. But go ahead.
Yeah, they were both big boys, weren't they? Yeah. So, I mean, Mike does have like a penchant for putting some bigger backs back there. Maybe that's why he had Caleb Johnson back there. Caleb wasn't particularly good at it.
he really wasn't.
There's some obscure guys there. I'm sure if I racked my brain, I could come up with a few more.
Stephon Logan, maybe?
Yeah, he was actually good at it.
Yeah, I liked him.
Oh, there were tons of them. Gordon Igwabike, was that his name? He returned kicks
for
them.
He was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was one of those guys who had a big game randomly against the Steelers, and they went out and signed him.
Right. Anthony McFarlane Jr. was one of Ray's favorites as well. Remember him, Ray?
Yeah. And it's Godwin Igwebikwe, not Gordon.
It was Godwin.
Godwin, you're right. Who returned a touchdown for a kickoff for a touchdown in Tomlin's first year, Ray?
Wrong. 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Wrong.
I don't know.
Alan Rossum.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. Out of Notre Dame, correct? Is that where he's from?
I don't know. Limits? Was he from Notre Dame?
Right.
I don't know.
Who's that guy in there, Donnie?
This is a wonderful man that brought you a gift.
What do you mean? He just walked in and brought me a gift?
Yeah,
he
like
did.
A Hawaiian shirt.
It's a Hawaiian
with your face
shirt
on it.
And it has your face on it, yes.
Oh, I know that guy.
Here, would you like to present it to Joe?
This is unbelievable.
Go right ahead.
We have to continue with Ray for now. Limits.
Oh, we're going to wait.
Let's hold off, let's hold off a minute on that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ray, I wanted to ask about Darnell Washington's usage through 2 weeks. Do we see him catch a ball that is not a two-point conversion against New England?
I mean, they made it look really easy, didn't they, in the two-pointer? So, yeah, that was impressive. I do think, Donnie, if they get down there, and Aaron Rodgers said this on Wednesday, they got to start getting down there more. I think he said a minimum four times per game. He wants them down there, so – they haven't had a ton of opportunities, but yeah, I think you saw how easy it was to do pitch and catch with Darnell there. And they also had a lot of success doing that with DK on the touchdown as well. So they got some big bodies out there that, they can get leverage and they got a height advantage. So yeah, I would certainly look for more of that.
Do you have concerns with the Patriots' new ability to get after the quarterback? They made a couple of savvy offseason acquisitions, and those guys are paying off. Harold Landry, Milton Williams, and the Steelers' offensive line through 2 weeks hasn't been all that great, and they have a quarterback that is mostly immobile.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this happens all the time when you have coaching changes. Vrabel is very familiar with Landry from Tennessee. I loved, Milton Williams with the Eagles. He was great as an interior pass rusher. Maybe the Patriots overpaid for him a little bit, but Vrabel wants to establish his culture up there. And you know he's going to have a defensive culture where they're going to be tough to play against. So, yeah, if I'm the Steelers, I'm sitting back and I'm watching all the Jets and the Seahawks perform against my offensive line. I'm certainly going to be concerned about containing those two guys as well.
Ray, do you like Joe's shirt? Can you see it on the video chat?
Look at this.
This is incredible.
It's got pictures of me on it. There's a man named Rudy Fajentic who just came in here. He made one of these for Pomp. I saw them at the Wild Things game the night that Pomp, they had the Pomp bobblehead, Ray. And I said, yeah. I'd love one of those. He took my photo, and now Rudy Fajentic has stopped by with, what would you call this, a Savvy Old News Hound shirt?
I like how it has your head on a guy swinging a golf club.
It's unbelievable.
I didn't notice that at first.
Hold on, Donnie.
That's a very nice touch.
Yeah, let me bring this up to the camera while you and Ray discuss.
Ray, the next guy I wanted to bring up was Roman Wilson. If we see any more snaps from him, any more impact.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Donnie, it's like they're trying to piece it together every single week. And I know we've talked about this throughout the summer. I don't know that the Steelers are going to have like a firmly entrenched, like number two guy all season. I think in the Jets game, it was Calvin Austin. You know, in the Seahawks game, it wasn't really anyone. No one really stepped up to be that guy. And, it turned out to be, a big problem for them. So in this game against the Pats, it could be Austin. It could be Roman Wilson. Could be Ben Skowronek. It could end up being a tight end as well. But it's been an issue all summer. And as we saw on Sunday against the Seahawks, when DK was dropping balls and when they were rolling coverage his way, no one else really stepped up. And that, that certainly played a part in them losing by two touchdowns.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
Yes, you may.
All right. Ray, surprised, yes or no, that Jonnu Smith leads all tight ends on this team in snaps this season?
No, small sample size, but not surprised.
Would you call Pat Freiermuth a good or average tight end?
I would call him, I would say he's better than average.
Okay. Who scares you most on the Patriots? One player.
Drake May. He can run it.
Who are you picking? What's the score going to be and who's the star of the game?
27-21 Patriots. And I'll go with Drake May. Drake May played well against the Dolphins last week, and I think he keeps it going against the Steelers.
Your most significant Steelers Patriots memory is what?
There was that Halloween game where they broke the Patriots, I think, 18-game winning streak back in 2004. I think they beat them pretty good at Heinz Field. So that's one that sticks out.
Over under 20 touches for Jaylen Warren.
They got to get him more involved, but that's still a high number. I'll say under.
Best team in the AFC is who?
Bills.
If Bengals go 12 games without Burrow, how many do they win?
Oh, I'll go four.
Your early pick for NFL MVP?
Got to be Josh Allen.
The Patriots secondary, especially if Christian Gonzalez is out, stinks. How many yards for Aaron Rodgers? Over, under 250.5?
I'll go over there.
Touchdowns, 2.5.
I'll go under.
Thank you, Ray. I have no further questions. Donnie, do you?
Ray, I wanted to bring up that game in 2004 because I had that on in the back earlier this week. Joe has referenced it. He brought it up to Chris Hoke yesterday, who made his first start in that game, I believe.
Yes, he did.
Hokey did. Are you aware, Ray, given how tremendous the Steelers' defense has been against the run in 2025, are you aware of how many yards the Patriots had rushing in that game?
Oh, boy. I'm just going to take a wild guess. I'll say 17.
Five. They had five rushing yards in that game.
Yeah. And it still wasn't a complete blowout. It wasn't like 34-21 or something like that.
The Patriots scored a cosmetic touchdown late in the game. It was 34-13, and then Brady found David Gibbons with about six minutes to go.
No relation to Ernest. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ray.
Nicest man on planet Earth, isn't he, Donnie?
I feel bad for Ray. Did he get bumped from that trip? He's been writing about the Steelers for ages. He's not.
Is Ray still there? Limits?
No, Ray jumped off.
Did we drop the ball there? It sounded like he backed out of the trip. Well, no, it sounded like they decided that they wouldn't send that many.
His first answer sounded like he said no thanks, but then when he explained it a little bit further, it kind of sounded like, oh, they didn't want as much coverage.
Yeah, and he gets bumped off the flight. Maybe we should have asked him more about that.
And he's just such a gentle giant that he just said, okay, that
okay,
works.
No problem.
No pushback from Ray. Very kind, man.
Maybe he's happy. I mean, for trips like that, I find that people are either thrilled to go or they're like, yeah, I really don't want to pick up and go across the world
today. I mean, you worked with a guy like that who complained about everywhere he went, no matter how cool it was.
Oh, yeah.
And Cabali kind of the same way. He's not going to Ireland.
This week we have to go to Florida. Who wants to go to Florida in the middle of winter?
So, I mean, I'll have Cabali with me to do fan game day that morning because he's
not making that trip. Oh, I thought you were going to Ireland. You're not?
I am not.
I thought that was right up your alley.
I got to be here. There's too many things. Football Fridays. There's
beer in Ireland. Guinness.
There's beer here, too.
That's a good
point. They got Iron City here.
Have you been to Ireland, Donnie?
I've only been out of the country one time, and I was like 12.
Canada?
No, I went to Aruba.
Are you Irish?
I think there's a little bit on my mom's side.
What are you mostly?
Either like Russian or like Ukrainian.
He doesn't know?
He doesn't know. I'm mostly Irish. Irish and German.
I'm terminally Irish. Almost 100%.
I can tell.
That's interesting, Donnie.
I got to pull up the Ancestry.com page.
You might have to, so you have a better answer to that question.
No, I mean, I know on my dad's side, it's like Russian and Ukrainian, and then my mom's side, it's like Czech and a little bit of Irish.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Here we go, Donnie. Man, I love that music, don't you?
Any of those old NFL film songs are bangers in my book.
Do you find yourself at times, Donnie, maybe on a slow summer day even? I don't know, maybe on a day when you're sick, not feeling well, watching America's Game over and over again, those shows on NFL Network about the Super Bowl champions? I can watch 30 of those in a row.
Or like anything. I mean, there's a good YouTube page. It's like NFL Throwback. They always put up pretty good stuff. I find myself going into rabbit holes like that. Like yesterday, before I came into work, I was watching a little bit from a video of the like 2000 to 2009 era of football.
Yeah.
And why it was maybe the most influential in league history.
Sarah Why do came, they say that?
Sarah came downstairs and made fun of me for a little bit.
Yes.
I think just because of the like expansion of the game, the expansion of TV, like networks where it like boomed, international games, Texans came in as a new team, so now they have 32 in the realignment.
How do you feel about commercials on the red zone, Donnie? Outraged?
No, I really don't think it's a big... I don't think it's a big deal right now, but here is what will end up happening. They're showing, what, a minute of commercials in 7 hours of football, and it's like a split-screen type method. That's all well and good, but here's what will eventually happen. It'll become like any other game you're watching, where they end up playing commercials throughout Red Zone over the course of a day, where there's multiple commercial breaks an hour.
Right.
Kind of like our shows, where it's like, oh, okay, like you just watched a lot of really good football highlights, and we'll be back in 3 minutes. Or 5 minutes.
Right. That's where it's headed.
I think that's what it'll end up turning into before we know it.
You ready for a numbers game, Donnie?
I am, Joe.
You got a number for me?
I do.
Please. One.
The amount of wins Mike Tomlin has in Foxborough.
I got one for you. Two. That's the amount of wins for the Patriots in Foxborough. In their last 10 home games, they're 2-8.
I have the same number as last time, one. That's the amount of touchdown passes Aaron Rodgers needs to move into fourth all-time on that list, passing Brett Favre. He would have 509 in his career if he gets one.
He may not admit that that would mean a lot to him. I think that would mean a lot to him. You have one game to win, Donnie, and you have Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers in their primes. Who are you taking?
Rodgers.
Me too. I think he's was the better player. I got a number for you, Donnie. Six. Tom Brady was 6-0 against the Steelers in Foxborough, and that doesn't begin to tell the story, my friend. He completed 72% of his passes against the Steelers in those six games, for 2,147 yards, 21 touchdowns, and zero interceptions, and a 128.4 passer rating. Yeah, Brady shredded everybody. He's the greatest football player of all time. He shredded the Steelers unlike anyone else. Those numbers are embarrassing. 21 touchdowns and no picks?
Which one of those games that they played in Foxborough against Brady was the most embarrassing?
The 55-whatever game it was.
55-31.
Yeah, and the Anthony Smith game is up. Was that the same one or a different one?
No, Anthony Smith, I thought, was 2007.
That might have been it then, that one. How about you?
I feel like the one, I feel like either that AFC Championship game in 16 or when they opened the season there in 19.
Yeah, he just spread them out and diced them up.
Lifeless.
You got a number for me?
I do. 315. The amount of passing yards per game the Patriots defense has allowed so far this season. That should bode well for Aaron Rodgers.
It should.
Should. But will it? That's the big question. But they have given up a lot of yardage through the air.
15-minute mark coming up here on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. All right, Donnie, let's go into a little two-minute drill here. I got a number for you. 16. The Steelers are 16-19 all-time against the Patriots. Which team out there limits 10 or more matchups do the Steelers have the worst record against all time in franchise history based on winning percentage?
Oh, boy. I don't know if they've played this team 10.
Wrong.
No, they haven't played them probably 10 times. I'm going to say that they've struggled the most against Denver.
The Chicago Bears, 8-19-1. Donnie?
My number is 11.8. Joe, that is the percentage at which the Patriots are sacking the opposing quarterback this season. A team that went from one of the worst in that category last season to right now the best in the league. Milton Williams, Harold Landry, they are leading the charge, and they are two guys I am very worried about this Sunday.
Five, the Patriots in their throwbacks with the Patriot guy on there. Is he a minute man, Donnie? The guy on the helmet, or what is he? How do we classify?
That's what I always thought,
yeah,
right?
Minute
like
man.
A little like Revolutionary War figure.
Yeah, yeah.
All-time great helmet, by like maybe.
Oh my
one.
God! Well, yeah, maybe the greatest throwback uniforms out there. I may be partial to Rams in their blue and white, their old uniforms. Those things
like
are
the
phenomenal.
Deacon Jones era.
Oh, are they phenomenal? However. The number five is that the Patriots have lost five in a row in these throwback uniforms, Donnie.
13 is my number here, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers have allowed 13 plays of 20-plus yards already this season. That
wow.
is by far the highest in the league.
Wow. 358 is my number. That's the number of Patriots wins since 1994. Packers second at 341. Steelers third at 333.
32, the number of snaps played by Roman Wilson through two games. That is third among Steelers wide receivers because that number has been commanded by DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin, who have 109 and 102.
Three, that was the number of touchdown passes for the great Bailey Zappi the last time these two teams locked horns. That guy threw for three touchdowns and 240 yards. Anybody want to guess how many other three-touchdown games Bailey Zappi has ever had in his career?
Wrong.
Zero. 21-18 Patriots. This happens to the Steelers all the time. Ryan Finley's only career win? Yeah, it was against the Steelers. He finished his career 1-6-1. When he goes up against them, he goes for 47 yards on the ground, including 23 untouched for a touchdown. Donnie?
48.5, the percentage of which Seattle threw to the middle of the field last week.
Ooh.
Nearly 50% they took advantage of the middle of that Steelers defense.
57 sacks for Mr. Mike Vrabel as a player out of Ohio State, drafted by the Steelers. How many of those 57 did he have for the Steelers, gentlemen? Anybody?
Out of his 57
yeah.
career sacks?
Yep.
I'll say 12.
I'll say 8.
Wrong. 7. Donnie?
10. I brought up the number earlier about the amount of 20-plus yard plays. How about 10 rushes already this season allowed by the Steelers defense of 10-plus yards? Fourth most in the NFL.
Holy ostrich milk. I would wager to say there may have been a season or two with their greatest defenses where they didn't allow that many. 63. That's points the Steelers have allowed. That's the most Mike Tomlin's ever given up in the first two games of a season.
8.1. The yards per carry averaged by Kenneth Walker last week on just 13 carries. The same Kenneth Walker who had just 10 for 20 yards in week one.
19, the number of yards Kenneth Walker ran for a touchdown on third and goal. The only guy in NFL history to run for a touchdown on third and goal from the 19. Donnie?
299. Not only the amount of rushing yards the Steelers allowed in the embarrassing playoff loss against Baltimore, that is the amount of rushing yards they have already allowed this season from the Jets and from the Seattle Seahawks.
Six. And by the way, some of this is borrowed liberally from Matt Williamson's cheat sheet on the Steelers website, but a lot of this is simple research by the savvy old news hound and his friend Donnie. Six. The Steelers are the least penalized team in the NFL so far, with just six penalties, Don.
That's a little bit worrisome, considering what they look like in being the 88. The receiving yards last week for Ramondre Stevenson, one of the three running backs this New England team will use. We know Jaylen Warren had the big catch and run last week, but I think any of these three backs could have a big game on Sunday.
386 from week 6 to week 18 last year. Drake May led the NFL with 386 scramble yards. He moves around a little bit.
Three, the average yards per rush for the Steelers so far this season.
Oh,
3.0. Only two teams behind them so far, Cincy and Vegas through the first two games.
Two, the number of missed extra points by Andres Borogalis, I think his name is, the Patriots kicker. He's also missed a field goal. I love that matchup, Andres against Boz. That's where the game could be won. Donnie, give me one more.
One, I brought up the amount of rushes of 10-plus yards the Steelers have allowed. They have just one running play of their own that has gone for 10 plus yards through 2 weeks.
That is absolutely incredible. And my final number is six. It's a number of Super Bowl wins for the Patriots and the number for the Steelers. So it's a race to seven. They're the only two with six. I don't think either's getting seven this year. Which franchise gets it first, Donnie?
I mean, it feels like the one that is closer to that is New England, because I think they have their next quarterback figured out. I think.
I agree
Steelers
wholeheartedly.
Can't say that.
Limits, what was the best number brought up today?
Oh, my goodness. There were a lot of good ones. I really liked Donnie's number about the percentage of the Patriots sacking opposing teams. But, Joe, you're five. The Patriots have lost five in a row wearing those throwback uniforms. I'm stunned by that.
Yeah. Donnie, how about that? Why would they keep wearing them?
I don't know, other than they look good.
Well, they do look good.
They look great, but I would have thought their record was much better.
Well, the record is they won their first seven in those, so they're 7-5 in their throwbacks, but a five-game losing streak. All right, coming up next. Donnie, that's a hell of a segment, isn't it? The numbers game?
Always a good adrenaline rush. We get into that two-minute offense, Joe. We try to execute it well.
Lots of valuable information, in my not-so-humble opinion.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.